Most of all, I get to be in love. Written by Hadalove. Read by Silvercat 1620. Summary. He'd planned on sleeping some of the day away, right on the couch just until it was time to pick Christopher up from school. And then he'd gone to drive his parents to the airport and came back home to music blasting and everything his mother had nudged out of place back in order, and Buck, halfway through the dining room with an armful of sheets, the whole pile wedged under his chin as he tried to keep it upright. In which a fitted sheet is a metaphor for love, and Eddie is in it. Notes. Ah, yes. It's Eddie Diaz plus laundry feelings time, as is normal and scheduled. Title is from Country Radio by the Indigo Girls. Yes, I exclusively listen to the Indigo Girls these days. I apologize. Okay, Buck says, frowning so deeply his bottom lip sticks out. I swear the inside of this pillowcase is the exact same as the outside. The inside is paler, Eddie says, sitting back in his chair. He should be helping. He meant to get up a solid 10 minutes ago when Buck brought out the load from the dryer and dumped it on the dining room table. But he has a mug of fresh coffee in his hand, and the house is finally, blessedly quiet. Not to mention the fact that Buck is shirtless and only wearing a pair of shorts, with mismatched socks on his feet that each have a hole somewhere else. Toe on the left, heel on the right. He's standing in front of the window, blocking the light, and Eddie feels safe for the first time in days, here in his shadow. He doesn't want to have to look away and start figuring out how to fold all of this. Really, Buck says, deadpan, turning the pillowcase over in his hands. His forehead is just a series of very deep wrinkles that Eddie wants to reach out and touch. I guess it was too much to expect, some kind of tag. You can also just look for the buttons, Eddie says, taking a loud sip. If you can't see them, it's probably the inside. Oh. Buck blinks, his shoulders dropping. He holds up the fabric in front of him, looking for the opening. Eddie can see, even from where he's sitting, that the buttons are, indeed, not visible. Thanks, Eddie. And he says that last one with a smile, his expression clearing, tongue coming back to poke out between his teeth as he concentrates on folding the pillowcase into a square. As if he's the one who should be thanking someone. As if he isn't holding Eddie together a little bit, just by standing here, with a little stack of old pillowcases growing taller on the table next to him. Which Eddie absolutely needs to be helping. But he's still trying to catch up with the fact that his parents are gone, that the extra bedding is back in the closet, and the air mattress is deflated, and his kitchen is reorganized back to the way he likes it, not the incomprehensible mess his mother made it as she hip-checked him away from the stove over and over. It's just him and Buck, and the distant sound of Buck's forgotten podcast echoing around the kitchen. He didn't stay over while Eddie's parents were here. They took Eddie's bed, and Buck helped him to make up the air mattress in the living room, and the fact that there was enough room on it for two clung on tight to Eddie's tongue and refused to be spoken. Buck had given him a hug, told him to call if they needed anything, anytime, seriously, Eddie, I mean it, and left Eddie to face the number of uncomfortable conversations he invited his parents here to have. And it went fine. Better than Eddie would have expected a year ago. Worse than he let himself hope for, but it's fine. It's just a little too fresh, what with their plane probably still up in the air. He feels paper-like, crushed in the grip of what it felt like to share a roof with his mother and father again, still trying to straighten out his wrinkles. He'd planned on doing that by sleeping some of the day away, right on the couch, just until it was time to pick Christopher up from school. And then he'd gone to drive his parents to the airport, and come back home to music blasting, and everything his mother nudged out of place back in order, and Buck, halfway through the dining room with an armful of sheets, the whole pile wedged under his chin as he tried to keep it upright. Eddie wanted to cross the room then, to knock the sheets out of Buck's hands, and put those hands on him instead, around Eddie's waist and right in the middle of his back where Buck's palms land sometimes, warm and heavy, grounding. He didn't do it, but the itch has turned into an ache, become just this side of unbearable as they made sandwiches for lunch and ate them, knocking ankles under the kitchen table. Buck filled the silence, talking about the book he'd finished last night, carefully not asking Eddie how he was, how anything went, and Eddie just... "Okay," says Buck with a sheet over his head like the world's largest ghost. "I think we're going to have to Martha Stewart this one." Loves him. Eddie loves him, and he's never been more certain of it. His own house felt foreign for the better part of a week, even though the bones of it were the same. And then Buck came back, and the walls, the floorboards, the squeaky pantry door are all Eddie's again. Are theirs. "Martha Stewart?" Eddie asks, finally getting up, setting his mug down a safe distance away. Buck lifts an arm, giving Eddie a peek at his face under the sheet. "You do know who she is, right?" "I'm gay," Eddie raises an eyebrow, "and I own a goddamn television. I know Martha Stewart." "Okay," Buck says with a soft grin in the corner of his mouth. He probably doesn't even know it's there. "There's this video on her Instagram on folding fitted sheets, but you need two people." Eddie spreads his arm. "Good thing I'm here then." Buck grins for real, ducking his head before he lets the sheet fall and tugs it off him. "Here," he says, offering one side to Eddie. "You need to get your arms in the corners." Eddie does as he says, standing right across from him, trying to focus on what he's doing instead of the ray of golden light that bisects Buck's face, the afternoon creeping in without Eddie noticing. "And tuck your index fingers like this," Buck says, biting his lip. "And then I think we put the outside corner over the inside corner." Eddie has no real idea what that means, but he's an expert at this, predicting the way Buck's going to move, following every minute movement. He keeps his eyes on Buck's hands, moving so carefully under the fabric, and is less than a second behind. They manage to fold the corners together, and somehow they're left with a rectangle pulled taut between them. Buck's smile is brilliant when he turns it on Eddie, like this has never worked for him before. And Eddie's brought back, just like that, to all the times he scrunched this exact sheet into a ball and thrown it into the back of the closet because it was going to get stretched over a mattress anyway. To all the times he's folded their sheets, his Target brand and Christopher's dinosaur ones that he's on the verge of outgrowing, alone in the living room with the TV on low, Christopher already asleep. His mother never let him near the laundry, and neither did Shannon because it was the only chore she liked doing, so they always came out wonky at best and corners sticking out, too big to make them neat by himself. He's never had someone to fold a fucking sheet with him, but here Buck is, grinning as they take a couple of steps toward each other, lining up the corners. He laughs when their knuckles bump together and stay there, neither one quite sure who's supposed to grab the whole thing and bring it together, but the sound fades when he looks down. Eddie's own breath gets stuck somewhere behind his breastbone, realizing just how close they are. In the next room, the podcast host is yelling something about giant bat species, and Buck is here, and Eddie has solid ground under his feet, and he's tired and tired and tired of waiting. He drops the sheet. Buck has about a second to open his mouth to start saying something, and then Eddie puts careful hands on his jaw and kisses it right off of his tongue. Buck makes a sound, a high, surprised thing that tastes sweet when it comes up from his throat. The air around them stirs, but Eddie doesn't care to find out why. Not when Buck's warm hands land on his waist and pull him close. When Buck grins against his mouth as Eddie wraps an arm around his shoulders and holds the back of Buck's head steady and drinks him in, exactly the way he's imagined 1,000 times, and nothing like it at all. He tastes bright, somehow, like the smile that stays on his face even as it makes it hard for them to keep the kiss together, all laughter and clacking teeth. The taste stays behind, right on the back of Eddie's tongue, even when they pull apart. "Eddie," Buck says, laughing a little, teetering on the edge of breathlessness. "What was that for?" "Just," Eddie says on an exhale, gently pressing their foreheads together. "Thanks for folding sheets with me." And he opens his eyes then, looks down at their feet where the beautiful rectangle they'd created has turned back into a heap of fabric. Buck's sock with the hole in the toe is just sticking out from underneath. "Not sure my track record's that great," Buck says, looking at the same thing, but he squeezes Eddie's hips at the same time, with a certainty like he'd done it 100 times before. "But if you want to try again..." "Actually," Eddie says, and bends down to pick up the sheet, swinging it up so it falls back down over their heads. "I'm not sure folding it is that important." Buck's hands leave Eddie's hips, battling the fabric falling down in folds around them, until they can see each other again, Buck with his nose scrunched, Eddie smiling so wide that it's starting to hurt. The sound of the world outside fades, leaving just the two of them and the heavy warmth of their breathing. "See, I can't tell if you're asking me to have sex with you," Buck says, and Eddie's hands shake with how much he's feeling when he curls them into the hem of Buck's shorts and pulls him closer. "But your bed's, like, bare right now, and you literally just got that mattress, and I'm not good at putting on fitted sheets. I'm asking you," Eddie interrupts, "to make out with me like we're 15 and worry about the laundry later." Buck's smile is blinding. "Later, huh? Like tonight," Eddie says, taking a step with no idea where they're going. If he's lucky, they might walk into the table or get tangled and trip. He doesn't really mind as long as Buck keeps holding him. "Or tomorrow, or 10 years from now. They're going to keep getting dirty forever, so..." "You say the sweetest things," Buck says, but Eddie hears the tremor underneath, the weight of all the things they haven't spoken aloud, but will, because Buck's here, and they have all the time Eddie could possibly ask for. "We're going to do so much laundry together." And then he's bringing their bodies together, gently biting at Eddie's bottom lip, a careful palm pressed to his lower back. Incredibly, they don't trip, but when they eventually emerge from under the sheet, bright red and overheated, they find Buck's careful pile of pillowcases swept off the dining table, spilling color all over the floor. This time, Eddie helps refold them, and if they're not quite straight, he'll blame it on the kisses Buck presses to the back of his neck every time he passes. The end.